This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Cohen. The Serena Hotel is a popular location for Westerners living in Kabul, Afghanistan. It's a luxury hotel and it has a fitness center, which is why Lisa Gans was there at about 6 p.m. on Monday. That's when assailants walked into the hotel throwing grenades and firing assault rifles. At least 8 people were killed in the attack, but Lisa Gans survived. Lisa works for an aid organization in Kabul, and I spoke with her earlier. A warning to some of our listeners, some of our conversation includes graphic descriptions of what happened. Lisa told me that she was about to use the hotel's internet access when the attack began. She had just come from the gym.
There's also a little cafe by the workout area, and I was using my computer, and I walked into the reception area and heard an enormous explosion and gunfire, and an employee from the hotel came running from the lobby area saying there's someone shooting, and ran into the back. And so I was left in the reception with a woman who also worked at the hotel, who was from the Philippines, the shooting got louder, so I went behind the desk, and some of the ceiling started to come down, and she went toward the door, I guess, to find out what was happening. And I peeked around the other side of the desk and saw a man coming out dressed as Afghan security, but with a beard, firing an AK-47, looking kind of possessed. And he turned his head and just looked right at me. And then the woman came back into the spa, and he turned his head again and shot her in the chest and ran out, and then I heard him shooting other people in the hall and people screaming, and then there were more explosions.
Lisa, in that moment where the shooter looked at you, what was going through your mind?
I really thought I was going to die. It all happened very quickly, but it was surreal.
And then what did you do next? This shooter had shot and killed this other woman. He leaves the room. Where did you go next?
Well, I peeked out a little bit more to make sure. I wanted to see if she was dead. I've heard conflicting reports now that she was injured, but she wasn't making any noise and she wasn't moving. And then I heard the gunfire getting louder, and I tried to get further under the desk, but they had stored things under there, and I saw a list of phone numbers, and so I pulled the phone down and tried to contact people in the hotel to say that someone was injured and, you know, to see what was going on, and no one would answer, and so I assumed that if no one was answering any extension in the hotel, that something major had happened. And I didn't know yet that there had been a suicide bombing, but the shooting got louder, and so I ran to where the other hotel employee had gone, and into a back room, and tried to find people to help. And eventually, an elevator door opened, and a young man who worked for the hotel beckoned me to come in and took me down to the basement. So I went down there and then realized that my cell phone was still up in the gym, and that had all of my security contact numbers, and his phone was about to die. So I told him to stay put, went back up in the elevator, and went sprinting through the gym and got my phone, came back. There were a couple of people standing over the body and more gunfire, and they told me that the building wasn't secure and that they didn't know what was going on, but there had been a suicide attack. And so I went back down to the basement to hide, and that's where I stayed.
In that moment where you realized your cell phone was still up in the gym, it must have been a bit of a gamble, at the very least, to go up there not knowing what was happening, and yet you decided you were going to chance it?
Yeah, it seems crazy now, but, we're supposed to at least, there's an organization here called ANSA, which assists NGOs with security, and I had all their phone numbers in there, plus I assumed that something pretty awful had happened and that no one would be able to reach me. And that we wouldn't be able to get any information about whether it was safe to come out. The other thing was I didn't realize at the time that the gym was a target, so I'd seen this man walk through with a gun, but it didn't occur to me that he would come back. And I wasn't entirely sure how he'd come from the area he did, because he came from the gym area, which is harder to get through, so he didn't come from the front of the hotel. Later, I found out that as soon as I went back downstairs with my phone, he came through and killed the other people. So I'm probably missed it by a couple of minutes. So I got lucky twice.
You sound incredibly calm for someone who was so close to death, not once, but more than once in this one day.
Yeah, it's they kept telling me at the scene that, you know, like asking if I wanted some Valium and telling me that I'm probably going to crack in a day or two. So I'm waiting for it. Mostly today I've been focused on trying to organize something for the family of the woman who was working in the spa. I think she'd come here from the Philippines to just get a better paying job to support her family. And I don't know, I mean, I assume if she hadn't walked in the room that I would have been the one who'd been killed.
Afghanistan is an incredibly dangerous place, and there were representatives claiming to be Taliban members saying yesterday that there will be more attacks on locations where Westerners are known to be. And yet, you're going to stay there?
Yeah, I mean, yes, Afghanistan is a dangerous place. That said, this is the first major attack like this on a hotel since, I think, 2001, so I'm going to stay here.
I imagine, even if you're relatively calm at this point in time, that your friends and your family here in the U.S. must be worried sick about you and probably would really like to see you come back home. What do you tell them in terms of why you're deciding not to leave?
It's an ongoing conversation. I mean, sometimes it's conversations about risk assessment and about how you think about danger when you live in the U.S. and you know, what you sort of ignore in your daily life anyway. But when I talk about what I'm doing here, I'm a lawyer. I have two Ivy League degrees, and I used to work for a big New York law firm. And in terms of the impact that I can make and the place where my expertise can make a bigger difference, there's just absolutely no comparison. So when I provide trainings here or assist lawyers here or help develop the justice sector, it's actually making a difference in a country that desperately needs it.
I know for security reasons you can't tell us too much specifically about what you do there, but maybe can you give us an example of a change that you've been able to make there that proves to you it's necessary or worthwhile to stay, even if there is that risk?
Sure. I mean, I go into prisons here working for women and girls, and I work to train lawyers, Afghan lawyers, who also do that. So, I didn't have the opportunity to do anything like that in a New York law firm.
Lisa Gans was at the Serena Hotel in Kabul, Afghanistan, when it was attacked on Monday. Thank you for talking to us, Lisa, and stay safe.
Thanks so much. Take care.